Hello and welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Today on the Ether, we have part two of the two-part space hosted by Thames. Let's talk NFTs. Diversity in NFT, women in NFT, black NFT. Let's take a listen.
Is it me or can you not hear Matt?
Yeah, I think he got rugged.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I was so confused, Matt. I was like,
hello?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Crap,
Matt, we can hear you.
Yeah,
no, you're going.
Yes, we hear you. We're not rugged.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, so I'm gonna end it with this. A lot of new NFT artists, they'll hit me up. They'll say, you know, why aren't their projects moving? Why aren't their projects selling? And then first thing I'll ask them, where did you mint it at? And then they'll say, oh, I minted on Tezos. That's your answer. You know what I'm saying? Where are most of the NFTs, people who are buying and selling NFTs? They're on Ethereum blockchain. If you go mint on Tezos, you're on.
Yo, man.
But Tezos has a huge community, though. I know a lot
of people. Okay, compared to Ethereum.
But it's the gas fees, right?
Exactly.
That's why people go to
Tezos. We're talking about the size. Compared to Ethereum, is there a comparison? Yes or no?
No, there's no comparison, but it's all about
exactly. It's just a bigger market on the Ethereum blockchain. So you want to go where the money is. That's what I'm saying. So
Matt and RR is giving left brain, right brain right about now. Not gonna lie.
No. The reason why I say that, right? There's like this whole thing, right? So a lot of people push people to Ethereum, right? There is no way that I'm gonna tell my friends, hey, pay $400 gas fees or $300 gas fees to buy my NFT when I know that they can't afford it. I would rather do it on Tezos that has less gas, and then I can be like, yo, buy my $50 NFT, right? It makes sense to pay $51 for NFT than or for a $50 NFT than spend $350 for a NFT on Ethereum, right? So you have to know who you're trying to sell to, right? If the people that you're trying to sell to aren't going to, you know, if they're not going to spend $200, $100 for gas fee, don't push them to Ethereum.
It depends on your market.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on, guys. Let's move on. Jarrett, your hand's up again. What do you want?
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Now, I was going to just add my thoughts.
Y'all are mean up in here.
I know. What you want? Damn.
Nah, Jarrett's my big bro. I'm playing. Jarrett's my big bro. Go ahead, OG. Yeah, right. Go ahead, OG. And by the way, guess who Jarrett's with? He's with Grant mother freaking Cardone right about now. Millionaire circles, yo. I'm hating. Did you mention?
Put Grant on the phone and tell him about Wholesome.
Go ahead, Jarrett.
Yeah, man, I'm at snuck out real quick. I have to go back and close this $1 million deal real quick. But I was just gonna say, for me personally, and I'm not giving any financial advice, but I like to, number one, these NFTs are hype machines at the end of the day. So whoever has the biggest and most creative hype machine around it, that's going to create a frenzy to get it minted, and then a frenzy of scarcity once it's in the secondary market. That's what I'm looking for. So I actually shared an NFT project I invested in. This is the Matrix NFT, backed by Nifty's, supported by Warner Brothers. So the reason why I was like, all right, if I'm gonna put money into an NFT, this is the one, is because one, it's with a cult movie and a cult, it's a cult following with the Matrix. Two, they have a 2-year roadmap. Three, they're backed by Warner Brothers that's gonna be putting out multiple more movies in this series, and it's part of the roadmap. And four, it's gonna be give entry into a metaverse environment. And five, there's gamification around it, where you can take a red pill or a blue pill, your avatar changes, and then there's rarity scores based off of different characteristics of the NFT. So if you're looking for NFT projects, I would look at projects that have like that type of a mix of aspects to it, especially if it's backed by corporations. That's why I asked about VV, because VV has, you know, the Marvel, they have Disney, they have US Postal Service. that doesn't guarantee that they're going to be successful, but at least those corporations have money behind them to create some sort of scarcity through marketing. They can create some utility because they are corporations. They can throw in things to the NFT just to make it more valuable because they actually have something behind it. For me personally, like, I would love to buy like a Lakers NFT that says you get front row, you know, you get courtside tickets for the duration you own this NFT, so that some huge Lakers fan buys it off of me for 5-10x. Like, I'm always looking for those type of NFTs too that have some sort of exclusivity offer that happens in real life. And that's what a lot of these music artists are going to be doing. You know, I'm also down in Miami with this one young music artist that's like, look, I'm not a huge star yet, but I'll put out an NFT that says you can meet up with me for a meet and greet 2 times a year. And as my album sales go up, as my tours sales go up, as my social media goes up, the price of my NFT will go up, the resale value will go up, and then me as the artist, I will constantly be getting paid off that resale value. So I'd also look at those as well. They're not as prevalent as, you know, the Bored Apes and everything like that, but it's going to become more and more popular, these up-and-coming independent artists putting out NFTs. And then just, if you believe in the artist and you support the art, go ahead and invest in them. If they end up becoming nothing, at least you can say, hey, I supported that young artist. But like Ilhan said, like, do not put money into it that you need. You got to look at it as if it's a throwaway. So if I lose money on my Matrix NFTs, I'm cool with it because it was just a risk. Plus, I want to see where it goes over the next 2 years. And I think it's going to be fun to take a red pill, blue pill, walk around in the metaverse environment and see what kind of, you know, technological, creativity do they have in this metaverse environment? Will it be Oculus? Will it be VR, AR? Like, who knows? But at least they have a 2-year roadmap. They're committed to it. And there's people on the outside looking in that really want to get in. And then as we figure out the rarity based off the red pill, blue pill, it could make it so one of my NFTs basically pays for my entire investment, or it double, triple, 10x, whatever the case is. But yeah, look for the ones that have the hype behind it. There's some influencers on this Twitter spaces that are great hype men when it comes to NFTs. Like, if you buy it early, you're gonna be able to resell it because of the hype. That being said, there could be rug pulls as well, and that's a little scary. Cause I personally don't even wanna be on the good side of a rug pull. I would feel like shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, be at the top of a Ponzi scheme. So, you know, just have ethics, you know, be, discerning, and look at the utility though, and the roadmap, and the marketing behind it, and the scarcity, and shit, it's like gambling, man. Just put some chips on the table. It's roulette. If you lose, you know, at least you got a couple drinks in the process. This is Jared. I'm done speaking.
Thanks, Jared. That was super, super, super helpful and thorough as well, and very practical. So thank you for that. And I guess, and also please bear in mind, Jared's not a financial advisor. He's just a winner. So, you know, seek your own financial advice. Do your own research as well. Cool. Who else wants to speak? Who do we have? I see dead people. We need to let some more people up. Cool. Cool. Go ahead, Pawn. While we let some more people up, go ahead.
Cool, perfect. So I wanted to talk about something that I have going on for the startup world right now. And I'm actually thinking of pivoting it into the Web3 space, especially like NFT artists. So you know how it is in the startup world. It's white dominated, like almost everything else. Black startups are getting completely neglected. So I decided to start a community called Black Ideas. And just being around this space and seeing all the people involved, I'm thinking of extending that to people in the Web3 space. So you can come in and pitch about your community and get support, you know, from everybody else. I was actually thinking of extending that and talking about it more sometime within these spaces, because we have a lot of Black creatives, like between artists and people building great projects based on NFTs and DAOs. So I really just wanted to point that out for like people who want to get in. I already have TipSnaps backing me. It's a Black startup, and I have Young Bull Club. They're coming in too to start pitching and building communities. So if anybody else wants to get in, just hit me up and we'll just slowly build it up.
I love that. Thank you, Pawn. Cool.
But yeah, buy your dot ETH if you can. Buy your name and dot ETH. Do that. ENS. That's it.
So if someone wanted to speak and I dropped them down by accident, so please raise your hand again and you could ask a question. So please forgive me for doing that as well. But yeah, hey, Jared, why should people buy their name in .eth? What's the value of that?
Number one, you don't want somebody else buying it from you or buying it before you and then kind of like holding on to it. But two, you know, actually, I'm not an expert on it. I just snatched mine up. But it's basically that .eth can become a wallet. So if you have a business and you want to, you know, basically get paid via Ethereum, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you can use your .eth to basically do so. One thing to notice, though, is do not try to poach corporate websites using .eth. ENS will honor the DNS. So if it's Coca-Cola.com and you say, oh, I'm going to do Coca-Cola.eth and sell it to them for 5,000 ETH, the ENS community will say, nope, we're going to give that to Coca-Cola because they want Coca-Cola.eth to be successful because that promotes the community and it promotes the DAO and it promotes the movement of using Ethereum as a way of currency and a way of building community. So that's just one thing I want to warn people is, you know, don't do that. But if you have, you know, a name that has not been claimed on .eth, go ahead and snatch it up before somebody else does, because it might be useful in the future. And I'm sure other people on this stage have more like specific reasons to do it. But, you know, mine was kind of like FOMO. I just don't want anybody taking my name and, you know, I won't be able to have it. So I went ahead and grabbed it. And I think it'll be valuable in the future once the utility becomes more clear. And it might be clear for others. So Ilhan, do you have any thoughts on it? I know you have a .eth.
Oh, yes. So I know I'm always trying to find like the Twitter space. But yeah, shout out to .eth. Are you asking if it's a good investment?
I can't.
No, he was I'm asking about it.
I'm asking why did you get it?
Can you walk people through how?
So actually, it's quite complicated for me because somebody took my Ilhan.eth. Yo, Ilhan is not even a popular name. It's very like Somali. But anyway, the guy took it and he was asking for like 15 ETH or something. And thank God we followed each other. So
extorting? You
know, yeah, it was literally extorting.
That is extortion.
Like, yeah.
Like, I was like, to have it.
I think he was trying to get the politician lady to pay for it or something like that.
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
That is vicious. Why are y'all so cruel on the internet? Be nice.
But it's all good. I was actually very disheartened because once I knew and I found out about ENS, I was so into it. I still am. I like it. So then I did some research and I was so heartbroken, but we followed each other. So that was cool. And I think like a few months ago, maybe beginning December or end of November, he just one day DM'd me. He was like, I didn't know you were so serious about Web3. So I'll just give you your .eth. After like follow me for a while. And then he, you know, I gave him a little bit of ETH just because I was like, okay, I don't want to like completely free. But yeah, he just like transferred it to me. But for .eth, like, I believe it's great because if you talk about onboarding people into the space, if you talk about, you know, mass adoption, a lot of people are not going to care about the long wallet address. I think it makes the most sense for them to know that, hey, I can have a name. So it could be sham.eth. Hopefully nobody takes it. And she can just enter that and then boom, it's like a shortcut. I think it makes the most sense. Yeah. When I'm trying to onboard people or tell them about NFTs, wallets, this, that, when I mention the .eth, it makes the most sense for them because it's just like, otherwise it's like these long addresses that just doesn't make much sense. But yeah, shout out to ENS.
Do you know what?
Yes.
I'd like to add like one or two things to what you're talking about, specifically about ENS, right? So you can also think of it even more past just what we see as like helping people onboard as like a cool thing, right? Where you essentially take your wallet address and add a name to it. You can think of it as potentially in the future, like you'll have subdomains. So like family structure, like I'll have a kid. So it'll be like some whatever my kid's name dot Akil dot whatever. And once you have ZK rollups that are probably being like a lot more like mainstream and integrated into various services, you essentially get to a point where a lot of like confidential information, whether it's like government ID, because you don't like you if just as like a refresher, right? ZK rollup is like zero knowledge rollup. So I can prove something that to you that I have it without actually showing you the contents of what it is, and it has a lot of implications. So for example, like schools, like you'll have a name.school.eth, and you can have like all your grades and essentially have it be a single sign-on where all your, like when you're doing college applications and stuff, you don't need to worry about asking your school for like transcripts, right? You can just single sign-on to any like college website that supports it and immediately import your grades. And it's like, because it's immutable, right? It's trustworthy. Those grades are trustworthy. So that's like one type of like use case for .eth. Other use cases would be like how just very recently they came up with almost like, if you guys know AIM, right? It's like instant messenger. So they basically do an ENS instant messenger. So you can like literally reach out to an ENS address, which is by like chat. And if they see the message on the same service, they can respond back to you. So it's like wallet to wallet communications in that sense too. So it's essentially like, you're right. It's like a gamer tag of like, it's like the 2022 version of a gamer tag that you sort of missed out when you like originally got your like 2006 Xbox gamer tag, and you missed out on it, and you had to put like XX in front of your freaking gamer tag.
Yeah, there's going to be so much more, or so many more use cases for the ENS. That's why I think it's a good idea to get it. And you're right, it's going to have like more and more, what do you call it, utility for it. And I know the ENS team is like working on that stuff.
Yeah, if you search on Twitter, ENS, you can follow the official Twitter handle. And they're a DAO, so they vote on things. They do Ethereum drops to their, you know, community. There's like a ranking of, you know, the .eths that have the most followers on Twitter. It's just an interesting community. So it's also a good networking tool. Like, oh, you got a .eth? I got a .eth. Let's be friends. So, you know, I say just go ahead and cop one in your name, and so you don't get extorted. Like Ilhan almost got extorted, but she's charming, so she was able to get it. But we're not all that charming, so just get it.
Shout out to all the charming people in Web3.
Hey, Jared, I had a question, and that's actually why I requested to be on stage. And maybe I must have like not heard you fully, and you can clarify it. But you're talking about like potentially investing in projects that might be like, it's risky because it's like could be a rug pull and stuff like that, right? And you don't want to like be associated or get caught in that sort of environment, right? What's sort of stopping, not you necessarily, but like investors in the NFT space, or like people like us just cleaning up our act by like asking, demanding things like a FinCEN license, which is like, you know, like a money services business license, or like additional verification through like more doxing of like the team, where it's locating, having like a PO box address, or like a business that you can actually like make sure that nobody just runs away with the community treasury. Because if somebody guarantees 50% of all the ETH that you put towards this, towards this project will go towards the development of the actual project. And if it's a good enough amount, like if it's $10 million, right, you're like, oh shit, I don't even want to work on this project. I'd rather just rug pull and be out with this 10 million. So like, I think that's like, maybe like, what do you feel about that? Like asking when you're investing, just be like, hey, like, would you be willing to do like a FinCEN license or something like that?
Yeah, the thing that's stopping it is education. Everything you just said went over probably everybody in the audience's head, because we're new to NFTs. So we're just excited to get a cartoon picture and be like, cool, like, hey, we got an NFT too. So it's just a lack of education, and a lack of understanding, and getting, you know, caught up in the hype. And when you get caught up in the hype and you're emotionally buying because of FOMO and you want to have the next Bored Ape, you're going to buy before you ask those questions. And so will a bunch of other people when it's minted. So that's what it is, just lack of education and lack of being able to ask the questions to keep people accountable.
Akil, a question I have is, what is a FinCEN license? Because that definitely went over my head too. Oh no, where'd you go? Cool, let's move on.
Can I answer that question really quick?
Go ahead.
So I got into a project that basically did just that, basically took the money and ran. They made about $10 million in 27 minutes when they minted. And basically the only utility or value for the NFT project was the opportunity to get into their next project. So essentially it was a rug pull, and as somebody who's doing a project now, essentially I would say that you know, like Jared said, it's really, you know, nothing's really going to stop them. It's just coming down to, you know, being in a project that has, you know, full transparency, and which projects you believe that won't run off with your money, and that actually have some sort of utility. Because if you can kind of gauge and see, you know, NFTs that don't have that, you know, value or utility, then, you know, it's pretty much just, you know, taking the money and doing whatever they want to do with it.
Thanks, Young Bull. That was really helpful. Thank you. I want to hear from Resilient Innovation.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
GMRGA or GN, depending on where you are in the world.
Definitely GN here in London. Definitely GM.
GA here in East Coast.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I almost choked on water. Good.
Ooh, don't kill him.
Neither here nor there. Sorry.
You'll be all right.
But no, good morning, good afternoon, to good night to anyone, depending on where you are. I know I have a lot of Australian Dystoria family, and so it's like a whole other day over there and stuff of that nature. So these time zones are crazy because we live on a very, very large planet, but whatever. Any case, I wanted to, so there's two things that I actually wanted to mention, and one is kind of just what we were talking about a little bit before, which is the, like, being able to trust these projects and stuff, just from like a marketing or PR perspective. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course, go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. So just to add to a little bit to the discussion, is that technically, in my opinion, it doesn't matter how transparent they are, or whatever, like, because even if it might seem that they're very transparent, how do you know if that's still accurate or you authenticated, et cetera? And even if you did that, what stops people from doing things? This stuff is committed outside crime, scam, whatever, is committed outside of the industry all the time. So it's not necessarily more of a, you know, transparency. Everything is a risk, to be honest with you, especially when you're trying to be an early adopter in anything. And with that being said, within the crypto space, don't play with money that you're not willing to lose. Because technically speaking, you know, even with these rug pulls, you know, you technically got you paid for a product or a service or whatever, which is the NFT, and then they gave that to you. Bada bing, bada boom, it's done. You know what I'm saying? As far as legality goes, but that's neither here nor there. I didn't want to go into that. I'm not a lawyer by any means, but I just wanted to let that be known that technically speaking, it really doesn't, because people are committing healthcare scams like in broad daylight, and we still follow these people and we still evangelize them. I'm not gonna say their names, but we still do that. So it, for me, I'm just like, you just gotta not play with money that you can't afford to lose. Now, with that being said, within the NFT space, I think the smarter moves, instead of trying to get into these PFPs and stuff like that, I think it's the real estate move, to be very honest with you. I've been working with several projects within the metaverse. I'm even having a private metaverse event this weekend. I think I pinned a link at the top. Maybe it's the second one. I don't know. And if not, it's all over my my timeline or whatever, with a private event, because when we talk about being a person of color, when we talk about being from different nationalities, some of these metaverses that are quote unquote decentralized are not always for us. And so my biggest thing is being able to create a access and a pathway to actual financial freedom outside of just kind of scam, not necessarily scam, and kind of you know, this risk game with finding a project and going into it, right? And so with this particular event, literally every attendee gets a piece of real estate in the metaverse. Kid you not, hands down. Every single attendee gets a piece of real estate that's going to be worth well over 50K if you want to sell it, if you want to, you know, turn it into something like build a building or whatever and lease it out and create residual income within the crypto space. I think we're also missing the fact, like, everyone's trying to figure out investing and being an investor. That crap is hard. Right? You have to have an eye for it. There's a skill set for it. And we always forget that we do have a skill set, which is being an entrepreneur and being a hustler and being a business owner. And that's what we have to bring to the table. And so that's just what I'm trying to create. That's the projects that I've been able to help participate, market, get press for, et cetera, verification on Twitter, whatever it is. all of those things. So it's just about trying to create that pathway of honest education without gatekeepers, without people trying to like clickbait. I'm so over this, you know, women aren't in the crypto space. Yes, we are. We are here. Y'all are just clickbaiting, trying to get people into a room. Stop that foolery. Like, we are here. Stop that foolery. Like, there's a whole, like, whatever. And so I'm just tired of the clickbaits. I'm tired of just people trying to get followers and all that stuff. I'm like, let's be authentic, right? Like, let's be authentic. Let's actually give knowledge. And so anyway, the event is literally for parents and teenagers that, because there's a lot of play to earn games that we don't know. There's kids that are making $6,000 a month off of gaming, play to earn, and just being good at their games. But we don't know about that. Why? Because of the access and opportunities and stuff of that nature. So I'm like, bump all that. I want it. So if you're a parent, if you're a kid, if you're whatever, and you hear my voice, definitely try your best to, or DM me or whatever, if you can't make it to the event, whatever, like DM me to get into this event, because it's all about the education. We have the NFTs panel of all these teenagers that are like 12 and 16 that made millions last year. Like, they're giving away their knowledge for free. Hands down. So I'm just like, Gary V's team. I got Gary V's marketing head to talk about marketing in the NFT space and what it actually is. It's not about the sellout on the first day that everyone keeps thinking about, right? That's just like, it's just like vanity metrics on Instagram. Like, it's not about your freaking following. If you don't know what to do with your following, you don't know what to do with your community, you still won't make no money, period. And so anyway, I brought in Gary V's, the head of, she's over all of Gary V's marketing. And so I brought her in. She's coming in dropping gems for marketing for y'all. You can't pay for that. Like, it's anyway, moving on. I can be up here and I can preach all day and I don't want to. I just wanted to bring good vibes, good energy into the space. Let you know that women are here to stay. We are taking over the metaverse. We're doing amazing freaking things. And there are people on the ground that are out here that are trying to make everything exclusive and provide a safer pathway to financial freedom. And in my eyes, that's providing people with actual opportunity to get real estate in the metaverse. In my eyes, real estate is a pathway to financial freedom in the real world. And I see it as the same in the metaverse. And so that's what I'm trying to provide, which is why all my attendees get real estate. So anyway, I'm done speaking. Thank you guys for this. I enjoyed the conversation and I continue. If you guys will have me, I'll stay on stage and just check it out.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Resilient. And I definitely followed you. I am just in love with everything that you said. So please let me know how I can support you. And I really resonated with what you were saying as well about how much we need to have women in this space. We need to have diversity in this space. Like, guys, we want to continue the conversation. So definitely please feel free to share this space with your community. And we want to get more people in the room. So I've pinned three hashtags to the top so we can continue to get more representation, more women, more people of color, and on the conversation. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Jess. And also thank you to Resilient as well. Appreciate you for coming through. Someone had their hand up. I lost TK2. That's it. Go ahead, TK2, and then Ilhan.
Was it Resilient? Yeah. Resilient was talking about clickbait earlier, right? And, you know, I think information and misinformation, it's what you make of it. Like, I feel like as long as you have control of, like, the discourse and, you know, you can actually, you know, peer review this whole, whatever information that you get, you know, like, it is a good thing. And on that note, I did find something recently that I think should be talked about because this video has been kind of going around. And as of now, like, it already has 2 million views. And yeah, like, it really does seem to me that, like, people that are either not involved in Web3 or even the people that already are involved but don't really know as much as people that are veteran are kind of taking what is being said in that video as gospel. And I just wanted, you know, to get a consensus of, you know, if people know what this is or if they've seen it before or what they've thought about it. You should hit on the Jumbotron.
Sorry, I kind of missed the question. Can you ask the question and just say my question is, so it's kind of a bit clearer.
Yeah, I said there's a video that's going around. I think it's been posted like for about like 2 to 3 days ago. And it already got like 2 million views on YouTube. And it's talking about this space that we're currently in. And there's interesting stuff being said in there as far as, you know, like the portrayal of what actually does go on in the Web3 communities and whatnot. And I wanted to know, like, who here has either seen it or knows about it, or even better, knows the creator of that video.
Yeah, it's hard when you say that video. Is it something you can post or pin up?
Yeah, I just did.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. Which video is it? Which one is it?
It's the one by Dan Olsen, Foldable Human. It should pop up anytime soon now, if it hasn't popped up already.
Okay, cool. Oh, the red... No. I'm confused, y'all.
I haven't seen it. It's the first.
Oh, I see it now. I see it now. I see it now.
Tim, okay, cool. Dan, yeah. Austin. I haven't seen it, but has anyone on the panel or on stage seen this video? Ilhan, go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't seen that video. I probably have to watch it, but I just wanted to respond. I think earlier somebody asked, they asked Jared about like investors and such. I think like now that NFTs are going to evolve and such, you'll definitely see more venture capital money in it. You'll definitely see more, like, you know, organized efforts behind it. I do believe that the best projects will have to have some sort of an order. Like, they have a business plan. They have, you know, you can't just vibe anymore, I think, as time goes on. You'll still have those projects where, like, just because of the people that are behind it, like, it's going to be exciting, you know, it's going to do well. If you have a mission, I think you can still do that. But that's my guess. It's like, we'll just see, like, more Web2 folks just, like, slide in and be like, hey, I like this thing. Let me put money behind it. And then they'll create, like, NFTs and such. But I'm even more bullish on, like, big NFT collections and projects that are already taking stuff seriously, where they're taking the necessary steps to make sure that, like, they're treating it as a proper business. You know, they're not just like ruining their own reputation or like doing things that would hurt their collectors. But I definitely see like venture capital money coming in heavy.
Yeah, let me echo those sentiments as well, because I think last year, 2021, was the year where the hype, it was built around hype and built around profile pictures, PFPs, built around, you know, the images, you know, sort of the Bored Ape type of crypto punks, those kind, and then also the knockoff versions of those as well. I think this year and going forward, the NFTs that are going to be successful are the ones that are more like securities. So something that you can two things, securities and utility. So by securities, I mean something that you can actually use as a true investment that actually shows you the value behind it, maybe like a company or a mission behind it. So either an investment that you can achieve cash flow from. So a lot of new NFTs are creating derivatives from your NFTs, meaning, so let's say you have like crypto cats. I don't know. That's probably a real thing, but I just made it up. And then your crypto cats, if you give them milk, they can have babies. And those crypto cat babies are also NFTs that you can sell on, for example. So that's like a derivative financial instrument that you could create from an NFT. And then the second one, I think, is going to be super important going forward, is NFTs that actually have utility. All right, so I'm buying a picture. What does this picture do? What does this sort of image do? What does this artwork do? What does it give me? What can I do with it? Is it just a piece of art that I can buy and sell, or does it give me more than that? Is it useful at all? And find out what the utility is of an NFT as well. I think gone are the days where you could make a, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are still people making really good quick flips with whitelists and hype projects like Jarrett mentioned earlier. But I think if you're in this for the long term, because I think NFTs are here to stay, I think you need to be long, you need to go long with it. Be long, you know, think about the community that they're building, think about the utility, think about if you're actually buying an investment or if you're basically playing in a casino. A lot of it is casino money, in my opinion, at the moment. And you have to bear that in mind. And if you are trying to do the casino thing, that's okay. If that's just, as long as you know that's what you're doing, and as long as you know that you should only really play with money that you're happy to lose. Again, we're not financial advisors, unless we have financial advisors here. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not personally a financial advisor. Do your own research, of course. This is not financial advice. But
since you're in the UK, I think the rules might be a bit different for y'all, because I know in the U.S. at least, the SEC is always watching and they'll be doing.
And I already said SEC is not financial advice. You already said that, so don't even try it.
I know they have an agent in here already, so shout out to y'all. But yeah, I just wanted to say regulation is coming. So I think like NFT projects probably have to be very careful with their wording.
How are they going to regulate decentralized though? The Web3, that's going to be hard to regulate considering it's all blockchain and stuff like that. I know America are big on trying to control everything, but this Web3 thing is a whole nother level of control. I don't think.
Well, another really thing tough. With that is a lot of the bigger companies are going to try to come out with their own quote unquote NFT platforms, which really defeats the whole purpose, because then it's not really truly decentralized. That's like when the banks were coming out saying like, yeah, we can like hold your crypto for you. Like, yeah, Chase Bank, I'm really gonna give you my Bitcoin, like get out of here. So, you know, there are a lot of projects that are going to be coming out. Like I said, the one with WiseKey that's going to be coming out with like the contracts, the legal contracts and stuff. Is that really going to be decentralized? No, white label is not really going to be decentralized. So just something to consider. That word is thrown around very loosely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. I think someone else had their hand up. If you did, can you put your hand up again, please? Oh yeah, there it is. Salsa Mish, go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for letting me speak. And thank you for your time, guys. I really appreciate every speaker and every host in every room, because it's a lot of effort, a lot of time, and it's free of charge. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I just have two questions. The first question is, because I go into so many rooms, and the one-of-one artists are really not represented well, because they are one person on their own. And it's very, very difficult. I've got my wife is an artist. I've been supporting her for the 24 years. We've been together for 26 years. And so I've got 24 years of real life art and exhibitions and dealing with artists. And I find it really difficult for them, because there's one person. Now, my question is, when someone supports an artist, is it right to buy from this artist because they want to support the artist, or because they love their art? And what would the artist feel if someone is supporting them, which is really, really nice, because they want to support them to succeed, but they're not really that much into their art, but supporting the artist? What would the artist feel if that's the case, rather than buying the art because they love it? Which one is more sort of
I hear what you're saying, Salsa. I think in my opinion it's a tough one to answer, because it's very, very, very subjective. But from my perspective, I like to think of myself as an artist. I do music, I can do a bit of graphic design. You know what, I'm not an artist, but I have artistic skills. Either or, if someone likes my art, that means something to me. But if someone also supports me, that also means something to me. I prefer for people to like my art, but I'm also like very, very honored when people support what I do, whether it's business, whether it's art, whatever that thing is. You know, if they're supporting me, I genuinely value that. The only thing is, I'm the one person that will always tell you I don't feel entitled to anyone's support. I think my craft should be good enough. I think my business and my product or my service should be good enough. And if my product or service isn't good enough, then it's really not sustainable, because how much can family and friends really sort of buy your things? And that's a very, very small pool. You really want to put yourself in a position where strangers appreciate your art, strangers want to support you, strangers want to buy into you as a person. Sometimes people support you because of who you are. You know, you're humble, you're kind, you've done some good for the community. Your art may be trash, but they buy into you as a person. That is important to me as well, that it comes from strangers. But yeah, that does that sort of answer your question, Salsa?
Oh, absolutely. It's a question that to get artists to think about, because my wife had, for instance, when she started the art, she had RSI, and she's got a long story. I'm not going to go for on it now. But when she started the art and I sold her first painting after half an hour of being painted, I straight away believed in her art. But we did an exhibition that we invited family and friends, the first exhibition we did, and she sold a lot of art. And I sat down and I said to her, look, let's decide our target and our way from now. Do you want people to support you because you have RSI and trying new direction? Or do you want to people to support you because you love your art? They love your art. And she said, I'd rather they support me by loving my art. If they don't love my art, then it's a false.
Salsa, why did you come here and ask us that question when you already had the answer, dude?
No, I'm sort of in between things, and I want other people to.
It's
very difficult for me.
My guy, that's your wife. Our opinion don't matter. You better happy wife, happy life, and all that. You better go home and make your wife happy.
My friend, I have no idea. I'm trying to help artists. I'm here to help all the artists, the one-on-one artists.
I hear you, bro. I joke a lot.
Oh, that's all right, my friend. That's all right. I don't get offended. It's a very happy family in here.
For sure.
We're talking. We're
don't get twisted. We have a lot of haters in the DMs as well, though. But that's neither here nor there.
God, I don't like
a lot of haters. Y'all are
No. You are absolutely amazing, guys. I really
thank you, Salsa.
This
I appreciate
is my
you
first for... time, and I really enjoyed. That's why.
Honestly,
I'm
though,
stay
Salsa.
Listening.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming through. We genuinely only want to spread positivity, love, laughter on a serious topic. This is a heavy topic, you know. We want to give everyone the opportunity to ask their questions as well before we wrap this thing up, because there's so many threads that this thing can take. I had a whole schedule prepared, and it's definitely gone off course, my schedule. But I do want to hear from Fumi, though. Fumi's been waiting for a long time. Fumi, let's talk. How are you, and what questions do you have?
Hey, I'll go down to the listener to give someone else a chance. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Salsa. You're the man. You're the real deal, dude.
Thank you very much, my friend.
And I hope your wife is happy, too. You seem like a great person. Oh, he's gone. Go ahead, Fumes.
Tem Georgica. Right. So my question is this, right? So my journey into the NFT space has come from my son, right, who spends a lot of time in Roblox, the Roblox game. And he literally spends so much money. So like for his birthday, Christmas, all his money goes into the currency in Roblox. And
I mean, you lot are too rich, man. You lot are too rich. How are you going to let that little man spend all that Roblox money?
That's where he's living. That's his world right now. Even his younger brother will be like, Eli, go into your Roblox. He's
Say no more. Go ahead.
So the thing is, so I started thinking, because I heard, did you hear about this seventh grader, this boy called Benjamin Ahmed, who made, was it around 400K? He created his first NFT collection, and he made, what was it, 3,000 whales or something? And
I heard about that. Yeah.
So then I started thinking, wait, so rather than my son being in Roblox, why doesn't he just become a creator? Sorry, I've got a bit of chaos. You know what? I'll come back.
All right, Fumi, when you're settled.
Fumi, first of all, Fumi, don't apologize for being a mom. First of all, don't apologize for being a mom. It's okay. Yeah. You give us all the noise. You're a mom. Like, the thing you're doing, the reason why you're speaking is so that you're trying to better your life for your kids. Like, no, don't apologize for that, sis. You keep going. Keep telling us. And I want, matter of fact, please DM me, because I want your kids to be in the conference so that they can learn how to actually make money in the NFTs. Because, yes, again, you have Play to Earn. Because where they can be playing certain Roblox games, and certain other PC games to start earning actual Ethereum now and not tomorrow or 2 years down the line. That you can go ahead and start doing that now. There are ways for them to go ahead and create NFT projects now, but they need to know how and where to start and who's actually giving that solid knowledge. So definitely DM me first and foremost, because I want parents at this. This is for us. This is for you. This is for your kids, for your own legacy, for them to make sure that they are financially free and they can do what they want to do, whether that's leave a country, whether that's move, whether that's going to a certain university, starting a certain type of business, having needing that capital, better credit, whatever it is. This is for them now, right? And so definitely that is something that's possible. They can start that gamification. It's hard for parents to figure out how to do it or understand it because we didn't have those opportunities growing up. And so that's why I want kids to be telling kids what to do, because kids know how to do it. And parents, all you have to do is just trust your kids. That's it. Let them learn and trust them. So Fumi, reach out to me. I want to make sure you guys are there. Sorry, I didn't mean to take over Tim's. My bad. But I didn't want.
I love that, Queen. Thank you so much. And what I want to say is that the reason as well that I'm here is because I want to know about this stuff, because my son's in this stuff, right? He's on Discord with his friends, and I found out that in Roblox, he's creating avatars like T-shirts, and he's selling them like in the Roblox store. So I'm like, okay, so you've got this creator, like obviously he's got the bug for doing it. So I'm like, okay, how can I, you know, change that and maybe help him make NFTs? The other part of this, Tem Sham know that I run a charity as well for kids with sickle cell. And I'm all about NFTs for social good. So I would love to create a collection that's going to fund my charity as well. So yeah, I'm gonna stop. But Queen, I will get in touch with you. Tem, sorry for like wrecking your stage. Sham,
come on, it's all good,
See you later.
Fumi's part of the fam, so we're used to Fumi and the children. Just so you know, no problem. But Fumi, I'm not gonna lie, I missed your question. Were you more commenting, or was there a question there? If there was a question, we'd love to answer it.
Yeah, the question was, as a parent, you know, getting or educating a child in this space, like, where do I start? That was my question. But I think the lady answered it for me in a way, because I'll DM her and see, you know, join her conference. But yeah, that's my question. Like, how can I get him? I've already started talking to him about NFTs. At first he was like, why do people buy this, is what he said. He said, what do you get? So I began to explain to him, you know, the utilities, or just kind of giving him the concepts, right? And he can grasp it. He's really clever. So I just want to, you know, build on that. And I think he could do really well. And tying that into like my social good charity as well, obviously for sickle cell, because he has sickle cell. So I think that we've got a good project. So that's my question, is how or what advice, what resources can I use to help him, you know, become a creator? Essentially, you get it, Tim?
Yeah, I get it now, totally. I just like that he asked a very simple but pertinent question: what does it do? And that's the question everyone's trying to figure out as well. So that's really deep. But Resilient, did you want to comment on that? Resilient, are you there? Okay, maybe not. Cool. Fumi, I personally don't have the answer, but if someone does on the stage, please pipe up. That would be really helpful. See if we can get an answer for Fumi's children, and to be fair, my children as well, because I'd love for my son and my daughter to get into this stuff very early and learn about it as well. Oh, Resilience gone. Okay, cool. No worries. Well, hopefully we can come back to this question. But I am gonna call out some people. Oh, there you are. Okay, requested. I think we got the rug pulled.
So you can move me down now so that someone else can come up.
Cool. Yeah, hi, Resilient. Did you want to answer
the
question?
Sorry, I pressed the button and then all of Twitter just closed. And I was like, no, where am I? Sorry. Fumi, what I would say, places to get started for the kids, if he's already creating wearables and stuff for Roblox and things like that, what all you would be doing is cultivating that. What I would tell you to do is keep encouraging him to do it, and potentially, so for example, like, okay, this is literally what I would do, is I would continue to encourage him to do that, because wearables are going to be really, really big in just period in the space. But additionally, encourage him to figure out how to create vehicles, figure out how to create, you know, swords or things like other utilities and stuff of that nature, because that potentially will be a great moneymaker for his NFT collection, because it will all be about the compatibility with the Web3. Additionally, there should be people at the conference that you can connect with. And if not, I can reach out, because there's some people that are already doing they're making it compatible within the metaverse. And if that's the case, then your son can go ahead and start making money, but he just needs to know how to make it compatible and for the people to actually get it, buy it, use it situation. And so if he's already doing that, from what I heard, that would be a route that I would go. But right now, for you as a parent, as a mom, as a facilitator, what I would say is continue to encourage and then make the connections on his behalf is all that is. And so I already messaged you. And so I definitely want to help and work with you to make those additional connections for him on his behalf.
Awesome.
Amazing, resilient. Awesome. Thank you so much. Cheers, Tams.
It's all right. Fumi, really quickly, how old is your son again?
He just turned 10. Amazing. So he's been playing Roblox for like 2 years. I didn't know how advanced he was. And for any parents out there, I would literally say, like, we need to know this stuff, because I feel like it's that generation. They're the ones that are really going to take this on. And I don't want him to know stuff that I don't know, you know, because he's literally creating. He lives in Roblox in his free time. He's on Discord. I can't stand Discord. I can't even understand Discord. And he's using Discord. So, Thames, we were obviously in the Clubhouse room earlier today, and you gave me the course. I'm going to take a course so that I know stuff, because I feel like I'll get left behind and he'll know everything and I won't be able to reach him. So yeah, that's my advice to any parents out there. Like, we need to know this stuff.
I love that. But although a lot of this stuff just comes a lot more naturally to them as well, like they literally grew up in front of screens and all the rest of it a lot more than we did. Yeah, me and Fumi are similar age groups, pushed like basically just over 29. So I love it. I love that. Thank you for coming through anyway, Fumi. I do want to tell the story now of how I got bumped in the NFT game. By bumped, that means scammed, that means hustled, that means lost some money. Thankfully, I didn't bet the farm on NFTs, on the NFTs that I'm referring to. So I'll tell you a story. So Jess sent me an NFT that she bought into that the price increased. I was like, hell yeah, let me buy into that. The NFT was great. It was really reputable from Time Magazine, all good. So that was all good. So I was like, yeah, I can sleep easy now. But I just couldn't sleep. I was on OpenSea, banging out OpenSea, looking through, trawling through. And then you know what it is? I was tired, yeah. But I also, I'm the one guy that will never, God willing, will never get his Instagram account hacked, because I see all the warning signs. Like I see like all these like emails with like your money's and tied up in a bank account in Nigeria. It's never going to work on me. Like all of those kind of things. I've never really been a victim of scams before. So I was genuinely not, I never saw it coming. There was a level of not arrogance, but maybe some hubris, maybe some arrogance. Like I just didn't see it coming. Lo and behold, someone sent me an NFT of a Bored Ape Adidas type of collaboration type of thing. I was like, oh, this looks good. And I looked at the prices. Oh my goodness, look at the prices. Then I also looked at who bought into it. Now, this is really important as well, because to know who bought into it, because I missed a lot of different things because of a lack of attention to detail, a lack of asking myself the right questions. Like, if this is so valuable and these top people have bought into it, why is it just readily available like this? Why is it so easy to pick up? So I didn't ask myself any of those questions. And then, so I bought one, and then that took me on to buying another two. One of them made me buy 20, and I didn't even realize, because when you're buying NFTs, you have to be careful of the quantity that is asked.
Do y'all hear this? He bought 20, okay? Can you take it?
I must have
NFTs when you're sleepy.
I must have too much money. How am I buying 20 and I didn't even flinch? This is so stupid. So I went and bought 20 of one of them, and then I was sharing it with some people because I was excited. I was like, I shared it with a couple people. I told Sham, when you wake up, let me know. I want you to buy into this cool NFT. And then someone sent it back, nah, bro, that's a rug. I was like, what the hell is a rug? Basically, what we're talking about, being rugged, being bumped, being hustled, being scammed, basically. That's a rug. And I was like, why is it a rug? And then they explained a few things, a few typos, a few small things that you would have noticed. Like, look at who the collectors are. So this open sea world, yeah, you, honestly, when you get into open sea, there's so many complex things. I'd have to show you. Hopefully one day I'm going to do like a YouTube video showing you how to navigate open sea. You can think it's by someone, but it's not really by them. Scammers do, they send free NFTs to like big names, Bored Ape, Gary V gets a lot of free stuff. So it looks like Gary V has bought into it, or Bored Ape has bought into it, but they really haven't. They've just given it to them for free, so it's on their wallet. So I've bought these things, posted it on Twitter saying, yeah, I got my new NFTs. Within an hour, I was like, oh shit, these are fake. The way I deleted those tweets real quick, I was like, nah, I did not want my name to be attached to this. I'm not even going to lie. I even changed my name on my account. I took my username off and took my Twitter off. I was like, nah, I don't want to be associated with these scams. It was ridiculous. It was embarrassing as well. But I learned a very, very valuable lesson from it. Also, before I end this, the NFTs that I bought that were scams were removed from the marketplace. So they were in my wallet. All of a sudden, they vanished. So the real ones that I bought, luckily, I bought into some real ones as well. They're still there. But the scam ones have disappeared. So it's like there's no record of it. I spent all of that money and there's nothing to record. The only good thing about that is that now if people look in my wallet, they don't see junk NFTs. At least I don't look as stupid as I did when I had them on there. So saying that, you need to be very, 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 very careful. Look at the creator. Make sure it's made by a verified creator as well, not just by who you think is created by. OpenSea gets very layered, like it's like the range, then there's a creator, then there's like their collections versus what they've created as well. Sometimes you're looking at their collections, not what they've created. Bear in mind that some scammers send these people free things, NFTs for free. So it looks like it's from them, but it's not really from them. It's just from a scammer that sent it to them, so it looks legit. They send it to big names as well, so it looks like, oh, this big name has bought into this NFT. I need to buy into it. These people don't even know it's on there. These people have massive wallets, hundreds and thousands of NFTs. They're not looking at who's sending them stuff, what new stuff they have in there. So just buyer beware, basically. You need to be on your P's and Q's when it comes to NFTs. Hopefully that will never happen to me, but I'll never be arrogant or ignorant enough to just go in full steam ahead, all guns blazing, because in reality, there's a lot of ways that these scammers, they literally live just to make money, just to scam. And I'm not even talking about the people that do pump and dumps. That's a whole nother thing. I'm just talking about people that imitate originals and create fake accounts that look like the original accounts, and then you can buy it off those NFT accounts. Look at the activity on the accounts. If the activity is like dwindling, you know, there's not really people not many people buying into it, think twice. If it's not, you know, think twice before you buy it. That doesn't mean only verified accounts. I'm not saying you should only buy from verified accounts. Those are the safest accounts to buy from. You can also buy from unverified accounts, but don't go and buy a copy of something that's verified for someone that's unverified, because it's basically a fake. It's like buying fake Gucci, fake Prada, fake, you know, Adidas trainers or whatever from Peckham Market if you're from London. So I'm going to stop talking there. I know Jess has some stuff to say, and so does Matt, but I'll let Jess go first and then Matt. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing your story, because I think it's also important. Not only do we share our wins, but we share our L's as well, because those L's are lessons that everybody in here can learn from. And, you know, I just want to, you know, just send my sincerest condolences to your Ethereum wallet, Thames. I was with Thames at the beginning of the process, you know, looking at stuff on OpenSea. I went to sleep. And so one thing I did want to say about what he was saying in that transaction, where you can easily get fished by, you know, thinking that reputable people and verified accounts have the pieces in their wallet. You can also, in that transaction list, look for the word sale. That will usually, like, if it has a dollar amount to, well, not dollar, but like an ETH amount to it, or, you know, depending on whatever platform, you can kind of like then track that transaction and make sure that it's a legit transaction. Because the thing is too, if it is just a dummy transfer, that you'll know it's likely when that NFT is wiped out from OpenSea's platform, the only way you would be able to trace that is if you had that that contract and you could locate it on Etherscan. So definitely try to make sure that there's a sale and look for a good amount of transactions if it is something that you know is very valuable. It wouldn't just be like three transactions, the minting, Gary V, and like Bored Ape, because that's what we saw and we were like, oh yeah, that's lit, but no, it wasn't lit at all. So definitely don't miss those minor details, because that is definitely a trap. So I know, Matt, we talked about some traps to avoid earlier today, so I would love if you could maybe share some of those.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that happened to you, Tevin, but I'm pretty sure that was like the best learning experience you could have done, because nobody could
100% just
teach you. Nobody could teach you or talk to you about how to avoid a rug pull if you didn't go through a rug pull. I got rug pulled before, you know. It wasn't as severe as yours, but there was a project that where the developer, I think he died or something, like something, I don't know, he just literally stopped tweeting. He stopped minting more of the collection. He just literally just stopped. I guess he felt like he had enough ETH and he just stopped. And that's another way you can get rug pulled. Now, so another way to avoid these kind of things too is when you're buying art, and I'm an art purist, people buy art as an investor, as a collector. I go for it from an art collector point of view. When you're buying NFTs and the project rugs or whatever, the price decreases, you won't be mad as an art collector because you bought the art because you like the art. You know, like if the value plummets to zero and they stop developing for it, they stop providing utility for it, that's okay because you bought it because you like how it looked like anyways. You know, so all the NFTs that I have, I like. Now, as somebody who spoke about how they do send free NFTs to like influencers or big names or whatever, I check there's a section on OpenSea, and Tems, we should schedule this one day. We should have a live OpenSea tutorial on Spaces. I think that's something that would be creative, where everybody in the room, okay, will sit down with us on OpenSea and we will be browsing OpenSea together as a space, as a room, so everybody can get that interactive experience. So there's a part on your OpenSea profile, it'll say hidden. Every time I go check the hidden, there's always NFTs sitting in there. And I know it's people sending me, you know, NFTs. I look at it. Most of them are sent from Polygon. And most of them are, like, on Matic. And whoever knows me, like, I don't fuck with any other blockchain but Ethereum. I'm not an Ethereum maxi. I don't be knocking other blockchains. But I look at those NFTs. If I see that they're on Matic, I'm not touching them. I don't touch them. I don't reveal them. I don't interact with them, nothing. I don't even try to sell them, you know, because once you approve or unhide any of those NFTs, they can interact with your wallet, and you don't want that happening. As far as transaction history, that's another good thing that just pointed out. Last week, Twitter, as a company, was buying NFTs from small artists, and I thought that was the most amazing thing they could have done. There was on a buying spree. I don't know who was on Twitter around that time watching that happen live, but Twitter was buying NFTs from small artists in the NFT community, and I tweeted about that. So people was jumping under their plies, talking about some, it's a scam. Oh, they're just sending NFTs to Twitter. I'm like, go look at the transaction history on OpenSea. You will see sale, transfer. If they were just sending those NFTs to Twitter's wallet, you'd have saw a transfer. But all of them said sale. Like, Twitter was buying, and you could see how much they bought it for. Twitter was buying NFTs for like 1 ETH, 0.5 ETH. And right after Twitter made this purchase to those NFT collections, the collections took off immediately. So you could, everything is public on the blockchain. You know, scammers still find a way around that. But for sure, to what 10 Points was saying, if it's a popular project, 9 times out of 10 is gonna have copycats. You know, if you want the fake Louis, you have to take what comes with owning a fake Louis. You know, if you want an original project, you're gonna have to pay up for that. There's no way around it. You know, And if you try to go in a cheaper route, then you're going to get cheaper alternatives. You know, you're going to get cheaper consequences. But again, buy art that you like, regardless of price. It could be $20, $100. Stick to your budget. The first thing I ask, Justin, the first thing I ask any of you guys, if you guys talk to me when we browse in OpenSea, is what's your budget? And if you tell me, well, you know, Matt, I can only do 100, or, you know, I can only shop for 200, that's okay. There's a lot of quality projects that are under $200. There are a lot of quality projects under $100 on OpenSea. There's literally like a price filter where the prices go from a penny to $200. Whatever is in your price budget. But if you get on there with your next month's rent and you're trying to buy a JPEG and then you get rugged, like, don't be crying on Twitter about, oh my God, NFTs destroyed me. Like, no, you destroyed you. You are being irresponsible, fiscally irresponsible. Okay. So this is all discretionary income, okay, that you guys should be on using on OpenSea. And if you don't have that, I would not suggest you even buying an NFT. I would not, if your priorities, if your finances are not in order, I would not suggest using discretionary income on buying NFTs. But if you do have something to spare, you really want to learn about it, and you want to, you know, spend some, like, go for it, you know. But definitely take those kind of considerations in mind. And the last thing I'll add is, if another thing to watch out on OpenSea, and I really got to do this live OpenSea section so y'all know what I'm talking about. There is a section called Value.
We're losing you, Optimus Prime.
Y'all hear me?
You yeah, in the metaverse, bro.
Hold on. Go ahead. Y'all hear me a little better? I'm driving.
You sound like Bumblebee, but you're good now. Go ahead.
Okay. If y'all see a collection that has like 1,000 items, but you see two owners and zero volume traded, do not get into a project like that. Like, that means something is off about that project. Even if it's not necessarily a rug, there's something off about it. You know, either that project is very, very, very brand new, or volume traded means nobody has bought any of those NFTs and nobody
is he rugged? That
red flag. But go ahead.
Thanks for that, bro. We heard, I guess we got the sentiment of what you were saying.
Was saying pay attention to the volume.
Yeah.
The buy and sold volume of the NFT. And if you don't see much volume, much activity, then start to question, go back and do your due diligence and research the project.
Got him. Thank you. Go ahead, Ilhan.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to give a shout out to Manushka, who's in the audience. Shout out to her.
Ilhan with the random shout outs. Hey, Manushka. Shout out.
I want to support my people, you know?
I love that. I'm going to go through the queue. Prophets, did you have a question? Prophets, oh.
The conversation's been kind of switched a couple of times, but I do like the energy, and if it's okay to hang out here for a little bit, and then I'll
generate
the question. Appreciate that.
Cool. Heather, do you have a question?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hey, Heather, yes, how you
cool.
doing?
Hey. Doing well, just driving my dogs to the park. They might start barking soon because we're getting close to the park.
Safety first. Yes,
for sure. There's cool. Biscuit. Hey, sorry.
Why are you slapping the dog? Nah, I'm joking. Go ahead.
My question is about like building NFT projects. I'm a developer and I am interested in that side. I'm not so much an artist, but I do want to like dabble with creating an NFT project and releasing it. So I was curious about, the pros and cons of like an NFT project solo and with a group.
I like that. That's a really good question. I'm actually at those crossroads right now. So I've started my project and I've decided to go solo for now because I kind of want to do it at my own pace. I kind of want to figure out what I'm trying to create, what I want to design without sort of having anyone to hold to be accountable to for now. And I'm also trying to figure out what the vision I have in my head, like my why. And I need to make sure I have a strong enough why and a why that's transcendent, so that when I do bring other people on board, there's already a level of established why, and they need to resonate with those value systems that I have. And I've also figured out that what I actually need more than anything is a technical co-founder, like someone who can develop on the blockchain or a gaming developer, something along those lines, because I'm more Wholesome is more about the metaverse rather than just the NFTs. So I'm getting in via NFTs, but I'm thinking more metaversal, more long term, more 10, 20, 30 years rather than here and now. 30 years is a bit extreme. 10 years. If I can last 10 years, then that's great. So I'm thinking long term, thinking what can I build in 10 years if I start today? That's my thing. However, for example, with Tech UK, which Sham and I co-founded, there's no way in hell I could have started that by myself. Similarly, there's no way, in my opinion, she might tell you otherwise, but I don't think she could have started it by herself as well. We needed to collaborate and work together, and that she has strengths that I will never have, and I have strengths that she'll never have. I say never, you know what I mean? I'm being dramatic a bit, but you know, we both have different strengths. We both sort of are interested in different areas of Tech UK, and that's why we complement each other very well. And we have a friendship as well, like a really healthy friendship where we can tell each other what we're really thinking. We can have an opinion about things, and no one feels bad if the other person sort of gives an opinion that the other person doesn't like. Whereas with my NFT project, my Wholesome project, I really don't need that. I don't need to be challenged. I just need to be more introspective and in myself and figuring out what this means to me, because it's a big vision. And I may decide after being introspective, actually, I'm not interested. And I'd rather not do that with a co-founder. I'd rather know what I'm doing, and I'd rather know how far I want to take it by myself. So when someone else comes, whether they pull their weight or not, I'm still running with the vision. So that's sort of how I've decided to go about this. But I'd love to hear from you, Prophets. What do you think?
Yeah, it definitely is about what where you're coming from, in a sense of, is it a single artist? Are you a solo artist one-on-one? Or do you want to drop like a collection where, which both, you can do solo on both, but I think from personal experience, because I'm a photographer, and I have yet to drop any of my personal work, but I have launched like a collection with some friends, and we sold it out, and that's a whole different kind of vibe and energy to that. And so it just depends on like how Tem's just said that he wants to go his own pace. So obviously with maybe a 10,000 collection, that's not necessarily the route to go, because you don't really care to build up, because something like that, you need to build it up. There has to be constant traffic. There has to be consistent urge and want for your project in order for it to sell out. Whereas a one-on-one artist that's kind of working solo, you're maybe dropping a piece here and there, a few pieces at a time. And so the goal necessarily isn't to like sell out a 10,000 collection. You're just trying to sell out maybe a few pieces from the community and people that you've already interacted with, if that makes sense. So it just kind of goes back to like your initial goal, your vision. And some people don't realize that they have such a big vision, they need a team, right? And just because you are, and by the way, just because you're one of an artist doesn't mean you don't have a big vision. But if you do have, like, for example, Banksy's work is being they're making it into like, I don't know why I just lost my train of thought, but basically they're giving you the option to have a piece of it on particle.com. And so, you know, he's one artist, but granted he has a huge following. So there's a team behind that building that, because he has already such a big community already. So again, it just kind of goes back to your vision, your goal, and your like demographic of what you're building.
Cool. Yeah, that's really helpful. By the way, Prophets, do you have multiple accounts? Because you sound like someone that was on this stage a while back. Are you the same person? Be honest. I know it's you.
No, I definitely do go into the other projects that I'm building to like just talk, and not even to chill, just to talk sometimes, just because I feel like people just, they kind of like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say I'm worthy because I have a mutant or I get brought up, but I get brought up a lot because I have a mutant, and then I talk and then they're like, damn, she kind of knows what she's talking about. So I try to, you know, give my knowledge, but through other accounts, like just leverage. It's really, if I'm being honest, and I recommend everybody in this room do that. If you are building another project, use your knowledge on these other accounts that you're building, because people will be attracted to that because you're the one building the project. So your expertise, your mind, your thought process will be going behind the project anyway. So it's not like it's invalid or incompetent, you know, but you probably heard me from other accounts that maybe I've hopped on the stage on.
You are funny as hell, but I love it though. That's funny. No, but that's very clever though. Now you can actually build a following for your different projects, which I respect a lot. And you know, that's a very clever and shrewd tactic. So I respect it. Thank you. Heather, does that answer your question or does anyone else want to answer Heather's question as well?
Yeah, I think that's really great insight and wisdom.
Cool.
Depends on the project and the vision, right? Like, I think for me, sometimes I kind of interchange like supply chain and blockchain in my head. And it's like interesting trying to like carve out the definition of a utility for a project. So thanks for holding this space. Shout out to Ilhan and Sham.
Nice one. Heather, tell us, when we say utility in this NFT space, it's becoming a huge buzzword. What does it mean to you?
I think it is kind of defined by like the individual's sense of utility. Like, I think food is a utility and I also think art is a utility, but I don't necessarily think everyone would agree with the latter.
Yeah.
So those are two small examples. Like gaming, there's a lot of utility there for sure. Like that's a huge industry.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what we mentioned earlier. The utility of the NFT is why are you actually buying it? Outside of it being a buy and sell, what are you using it for? So for example, some businesses will use NFTs. They'll mint an NFT, and if you buy that NFT, it gives you, let's say, like a free pizza a week, for example. I don't know, just a random example. That's the utility of the NFT. Or if it's like a music artist, you know, you could buy an NFT, maybe album from them, and that NFT also gives you access to their live shows for a year, for example. That's the utility. So whether the price of the NFT goes up or down, that's irrelevant. The NFT in and of itself has a use. And finding out what that use is actually what the utility is. So for anyone who's creating NFTs, it's so important that you create NFTs with utility. Make it useful. Don't just make it a piece of art that people... Sorry, let me rephrase that. When it comes to art, I try not to comment because the art world is a totally different realm where value is created by whoever thinks that thing is valuable. So, you know, with, you know, art as an investment or et cetera, et cetera. But generally speaking, when it comes to NFTs, you have to be careful that, you know, that if you are creating them, create them that something that's useful. Don't just create the whole pump and dump thing where you're just creating it so people can buy it, people can sell it. And then once the last holder gets it, it's like, so what do I do with this? Like no one wants to buy it anymore. The hype is dead. But what you really want is, whether it's hyped or whether it's not hyped, that NFT in and of itself has a usefulness. Finding out what, discovering what that usefulness is, and also embedding that usefulness into your NFT is what's going to be key to make sure that your NFT stands out above the rest and your NFT is actually intrinsically more valuable. Because regardless of what's happening on the NFT market, buys and sells, highs and lows, hype, no hype, pumps and dumps, whoever holds your NFT has value because, you know, your NFT isn't dependent on all that extra stuff. So bear that in mind when it comes to utility. But I'd love to hear from anyone else. If you have a comment on utility, that would be super helpful as well.
I mean, the utility also attached to like DAOs is super interesting and I think valuable, especially as a developer. I'm looking at like minting, you know, in the future, getting into the developer DAO. So having this community, that is definitely a huge utility as well.
In Art Basel, if you have certain NFTs, you can get into certain parties. So I've definitely had FOMO for that.
I love that. Heather, you mentioned DAOs just now, and that's another buzzword in the NFT community. Do you want to share what that is and what DAO stands for?
I think we all know or not decentralized autonomous organizations, something like that. Is that right? I feel like I got it wrong. I'm so bad with acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
I know Elham's
Okay.
let's all try to remember that this is a humble space because none of us know everything, and we're still in a position when it comes to NFTs where we're still all trying to learn and figure this thing out. This is so new to everyone. Like, the technology's been around for about 5 or 6 years, but when it comes to the commercialization and the community side of it and people actually creating sort of and minting NFTs in the way that we're creating it now, it really only started in 2021. Really, that's when it really took off, and I think a little bit of 2020. So let's have grace with each other, and also let's remember that don't assume people know as well. DAOs. So I think I knew
what DAO meant before I even knew the terminology, just because the word DAO was used so much in community terms. When I was like, what the hell does DAO actually even mean? So
do you want to explain what a DAO is then, Prophets?
Yeah, and the way I could understand a DAO and the way I've been building DAOs is it's community ran. It's everything that is decided by with the funds, with what's next, where the funds go, is basically ran where there's like a poll or some type of option for the community to choose something. Or as a holder, you get access to choosing what the community does next or what the company does next, if you will. And that's how I've always understood it. I'm sure there's deeper ways to explain, but the gist, the simple way of understanding it is community ran organization where the community decides where money goes in and out and things of that nature.
Perfect. Yeah, that's literally it. You know, it's basically a corporation, an NFT or a sort of a community version of a corporation, a company, but it's not run by like executives and shareholders and that kind of thing. It's literally run by the holders of the NFT. They do, you know, they make decisions based on votes and that kind of thing. So that's essentially what a DAO is. And the key word is decentralized. So not power doesn't reside in one place like a normal, you know, like a CEO or a founder or whatever. The power resides with everyone. The power is decentralized. So yeah, that's very, very key. So that's something in that NFT space that I think, you know, it will come up. The thing is, the more you read, the more you research, please do your own research. And this is not financial advice, by the way, disclaimer, but the more you read, the more you research, the more you hear these acronyms. And the truth is, for any information to stick, you really have to hear it 14 times. That's why some of you have been here all day and you still don't get what NFTs are. That's okay. That's very normal. No, that's not even, I'm not even trying to be funny. That's very, very normal because you literally have to hear it 14 times. I mean, sometimes I still don't really get it. I got scammed just yesterday and I've been researching this for 4 months. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
when you think you know, that's when you need to be careful. There's a scripture, not to be get spiritual, but when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. That's so important that you remember that, you know, especially when it comes to NFTs, it's so freaking new. But I do want to hear from RJX0. Go ahead, RJX.
Hey, give me 1 second. Hold up. I have to go grab my iPad real quick.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you, bro.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Yeah. So, actually, I had a couple of points I wanted to drop, but are you guys looking at RenFT, the ability to like rent out your NFTs? Because that's another utility I don't think people are talking about enough. You know, everybody's kind of like building on just like the DAO concept, but building out a community or a resource where people will be able to extend their NFT for access to other things. Like we were talking about it in like the sports space. Excuse me, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, this is a great concept, actually. Some projects are part of give you the option to rent out.
To rent your product out. Yeah, you know, like there's like events, like event spaces where, you know, if you build a project where people might want to, okay, so this is an example I was thinking of. I know everybody knows about like the VCon, or if you haven't heard about it, there's a marketer named Gary V, and he has like his VFriends. And for me, I'm like, okay, well, if for those who can't make the conference or might not be able to get to the conference but have one, they could still make money off of their VFriend by renting it out to somebody else so they can actually go, whether it's this year or next year or whenever, however long that pass works, you know? And so that's another utility. And I think, Heather, if I'm correct, you were saying that is she still on the stage? Oh, she might not be. Well, regardless, like it's so early in the space, you know, in regards to like what's happening in Web3. And so with the technology being so early on, I feel like there's so much room for this to grow and expand. And so I think there's other ways that we can innovate some of the utilities on these projects. I think we're all just defaulting to the ones that we've seen succeed, but I think that we should take a little bit more time to like dig into like, what are some other ways that we can provide value to our audience? And I wanted to offer one more perspective as well, but Thames, I think you were saying that to focus on the utility, but I think that it's also okay to just build some of these projects that are based off of the art itself or the culture itself, only because I'm starting to see like an unhealthy mindset in the NFT space. And it's like a lot of people are like hyper-focused on the investment side of this. And there are communities where people are actually just helping other people. And it's not just about like, what can the tech team provide after the product launches. So because everybody's thinking from like the investment perspective of things, like I'm seeing a lot of people jump into this out of FOMO and desperation. And I think that's where all the issues are happening. Someone had mentioned it before, but it's like, you know, that FOMO experience that like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to miss out. You're rushing. And my community, like the Kuiper Cloud, like Rejects, like that's the team that we're a part of. We're trying to encourage people to slow down and be accountable for their actions, because everyone's like, oh, I'm getting rug pulled. It's the desperation, like the desperation and the FOMO and that fear of like, oh, damn, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like capitalize on this. So, you know, changing the dialogue, changing the words that we use, because you got to realize like a lot of the white papers, a lot of the information out here is built for for developers and designers to understand. But that's not normal lingo. Even the casual, like the cringe core words that we use in the spaces, like it's not common. So there's people coming from other like marginalized groups, and they're hearing these words and these terms and like, what the hell does that mean? And now I have to learn a whole new glossary of terms just to participate in the social side of this. So another thing that my community, my team, like what we're working on right now is, like these like bootleg workshops as well as a new glossary. Like we think that there's room for different cultures to add their own words and their own experience, their own like terminologies to the social side of these things. But we're also too doing like live workshops where, you know, like even last night, I brought the whole team and a couple community members into Twitter spaces, and we opened up a room, and I brought everybody up onto the stage, and I made everybody unmute for the first time, and then tap the emojis for the first time, because they're hearing these things, but they're not getting a chance to voice their opinions in these spaces. And just that little gesture of like, hey, these are how these buttons work, and this is what this experience feels like. And now you can shake the nerves next time you go into a space, and they're like, okay, cool. Like, I know what it's like to pin something to the billboard. I know what it's like to pin something or share or DM one of these messages. And this is how we can expand the community. It's like those people willing to take the time to create those nuanced moments. I think that's what's going to steer the culture of this into a way better direction. Cause you know, again, like a lot of us are here right now because we feel like, okay, we're kind of left out or behind, or we don't know what's going on. And it's because, yeah, this is not new. Like NFTs are not like a new thing. They've been out for a while. It only got popular over the last year or so, you know, because of a couple of like major sales that happened. But it's like, you know, now everybody's feeling that like, oh man, like, I don't want to, I forgot who said it, but someone like putting their whole like rent check into a PNG. It's like, yeah, that's dangerous. In any scenario that you're in, like, you should never be gambling like that. But that's, you know, that's on you. But again, if you don't have people in your community having like healthier conversation about the possibilities in the space, that's all you're gonna know, and that's the only way you're gonna see this new way, this new stage in technology. You know, so sorry, I know I went on for a little bit, but there was a couple of points y'all were making. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta like write these down, and you know, hopefully they let me up to like share it. So I'm done.
No, that was lit, man. Thank you for that, RJX. Really, really, really helpful. Another thing that I want to mention as well is gas fees. A lot of people don't really understand and don't get gas fees. Now, gas fees are important because NFTs are... So one of the complaints about NFTs is that it's messing up the planet from a pollution perspective. I won't go into sort of the ethics and the pollution. I just sort of stick to the facts for now. So most NFTs are built on the Ethereum blockchain. And Ethereum... I'm going to get technical just because you kind of have to, but don't take all of this as... don't take all of this. You don't have to take all of this in. Just take the main points. Ethereum works on something called a proof of work. The blockchain is a proof of work, which basically means it's basically their way of processing the data, the information on the blockchain. And that costs money to do. That's basically very expensive. So when you buy anything you do on OpenSea, which is like the biggest NFT blockchain and marketplace. So you always have to pay the gas fees if you're using Ethereum. And if at the moment, just pulling this out my head, I think Ethereum's like 70-80% of all NFTs. So you have to pay gas fees on buys, you have to pay gas fees on sales. You also have to pay gas fees when you actually do auctions as well. So even if you lose the auction, you'll never get your gas fee back, because that gas fee needs to be done. However, there is another blockchain called Solana. Solana doesn't have gas fees, or it has a lot lower gas fees. But I just thought I'd let you lot know that there is a relatively high barrier when it comes to buying NFTs because of those gas fees. I'm trying to sell one of my NFTs now. I'm just trying to sell it just to get rid of it. And I don't have enough money in my wallet, even though I have someone offering to buy it off me. I don't have enough money in my wallet because of the gas fees. The gas fees are more than the sale. So I need to basically wait for that, either the gas fees to go down or someone to offer me more money. It just shows you that it's actually not as straightforward as you think. But it's also, I'm also enjoying doing it because I'm getting a lot of experience by doing it. And I'm actually understanding you have to be strategic. Can't just sort of go in head first without having a plan, without having sort of doing the maths. You know, there's a scripture about if you're going to embark on anything, count your costs first. Always count your costs. Always, you know, measure if it's worth doing. Measure the cost. Do I have enough? So you may have enough for the NFTs, but do I have enough for the gas fees? You may have enough for this thing, but do you have enough for the other thing? So there's always something else you have to consider as well. That's why for me, I'm going to hold my NFTs until they become very valuable, where I'm not even thinking about gas fees. They're going to be so, you know, irrelevant. That's why it's important you buy something that you're willing to hold for the relative long term, rather than just trying to do a quick flip. A lot of these quick flips end up being the biggest sort of scams. And unless you're whitelisted on a really exclusive project like the Bored Apes or Hate Beasts or something like that, those kind of projects, fine. If you're whitelisted, that's worth the hype. Outside of those, a lot of projects are not worth the money that they're printing, but it's not even cash. It's all digital, innit? But saying that, just be careful of those things as well. Super important that you bear that in mind, the gas fees. So just something I wanted to share. We do have some other people on the stage that haven't spoken yet. I'd love to hear from Digital M, Digital Medication.
Yo, what's up, man? Blessings to the room. Appreciate you bringing me up. I've been going crazy in this space. Last night, I spoke to Ben Baller. I don't know if y'all know who that is. Big influencer.
I just like how you say Ben Baller. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Check him out, man. He's crazy about collecting things. He's big on trading cards. They're calling it tearing cardboard because they're collecting cardboard. And, you know, just going into the whole monetization of things that we hold dear. As an artist / influencer, I just want to share some philosophies with the people in this room. It's a lot of people who just want to make money. Now, the tricky thing about art is it's priceless. Art, it's an exponential value. It can be worth $50 today, it can be worth $1 tomorrow, then it could be worth $1 million, and then go back to $1. It's exponential. So trying to do something as far as art and want to make money from it, it's very difficult to look at it like that. You just have to be a passionate creative designer, or you have to be passionate about creativity first. And then the experience is what people usually buy into, you know, whether they're getting experience from your personality or the utilities. So I just want to share these things with you guys. Three philosophies I feel like that should be shared about how people are trying to figure out what they want to do and how should they start selling NFTs and art. First, understand that not all NFTs are digital transactions. And I'm going to take you back to Nipsey Hussle, who changed the business model for the world when he dropped mailbox money and he created these incentives for his buyers, not knowing that it would become the new, you know, forefront for money, for currency and the digital transition. I chose the name Digital Medication a long time ago. I was in school in San Francisco. I went to the Art Institute of San Francisco, and I thought I was going to school to become a director, a film director. And not knowing that I was a producer, because I was the guy who always brung everybody together to, you know, to basically execute ideas, creative ideas that I was having. So, you know, long story short, went to school, figured that out the hard way, end up owing Sallie Mae X amount of dollars, and was just messed up about it. Like, how am I get this money back, you know? So the three philosophies are, one, either you're a capitalist, which is an investor. I know the name may scare a lot of people, but the capitalist is the person who finances ideas. And then, or either you're an artist. The artist is the designer. That's the person who comes up with the concept for whatever project it is. It's a designer. And then you can be a mixture of both. And we call these people influencers because they have the power to invest in ideas while as far as understand how to produce them, which is a creative technique that it takes a long time to get. Unless you're a natural, you can be an indigo or a prodigy and it could come naturally. Another thing is, the politics is always going to vary. You're going to see people who are going to just be like crazy about it. And how do I want to say this? They're going to, I guess, overexert themselves, or they're going to, how do you say, create a lot of product, and it's going to be an influx of saturation or inflation that's going to distract people from what they want to do. And it's kind of confusing, but you have to be able to decide what you want out of life first, you know, or you'll waste a lot of time paying attention to things that don't matter. So I feel like that's very important. And with that being said, you have to be ready to take risks, because nothing is certain. This is all digital. At any time, the motherboard, the power grid could crash, and we'll all have to start over from scratch. So just understand that. Try to figure out exactly what you want to do first in life. You know what I mean? Because if you just want to make money, there's a million ways to make money. You know what I mean? So don't just throw yourself into something that everybody is doing just because it's popping up all the time in your face, and then you're confused about why do these have the DMT furs, and why are these just like, they're not even, you know, appealing. And it's so much to pay attention to. But if you don't know what you want out of life, you're going to just be caught up in the mix. And I just want to share those philosophies with everybody and understand that the politics vary for whatever demographic you subscribe to. So just be aware. Don't overwhelm yourself with all the terminologies and everything. Learn it as you go, but definitely know that you should research anything in life, not just NFTs. Just anything, just research it. Is the information is there. This meta means information for information. I just dropped the album called Metadata on all streaming platforms, and I didn't have no idea what it was going to be called. Mind you, I chose the name Meta a week before Facebook decided to change their name to Meta. And when it came, I got discouraged. I was like, dang, I don't want to call it that, because now I'm battling with the number one corporation in the world. But something came to me, was like, no, that was sheer intuition. This is what you do. You're an artist. You're a designer. It's going to come to you. And that's more satisfying than me having all the millions of dollars, is just being able to do what I love. You know what I mean? So shout out to everybody who kind of understand what's going on with this digital transition, hence the name Digital Medication, and a pandemic at that. That name was chosen in 2010. And I'm just thankful. Shout out Tim's for bringing me on stage, bro. I'm shaking in the voice because I'm trying to get used to talking, and I feel like I'm talking in a crowd on a podium in front of everybody. I feel like I can see y'all. So
you're doing great, bro. I swear down, you're so articulate, it's so clear. So yeah, you're doing great, man. Thank you for coming through, bro. You did
excellent. Yeah, and I was taking notes. Thank you for having me. And I completely agree with what you were saying about mailbox music. Completely revolutionized the industry. So thank you for shedding light on that.
For sure. Anytime, man.
Awesome stuff. Cool. All right. So, fella front, do you have a question for us? Fella front, you there? Might have to rug you.
Do you have a question, fella, or do you want to share anything? Hi.
good morning, good afternoon, good night, I guess, everybody. I'm a newbie. I'm just learning. I've been learning and listening to people for months now in spaces, and you know, I just listen. I don't ask questions. I don't come up. I just listen, because I first heard about it in like February last year, and I didn't really pay so much attention. Then I read about it somewhere on an article, and you know, I started paying more attention. Then spaces came, and I just joined in and I listened to people talk, and over time it's changed a lot of lives. It's changed a lot for people, and when I don't know how, I'm not in it because I can't afford to be in it yet, but it's and I've listened to you guys go on about, you know, not going into it if you don't have enough to spare or you know, something to fall back on. But I've always wanted to go digital, right, and to do something that's digital, because that's where the world is shifting, so that's where it looks like it's going. And it wouldn't make any sense if in like 5 years to say, oh, I wasn't part of this because I didn't have any digital skill, or I couldn't like really key myself into this. And that's the same thing for cryptocurrency too, but I don't know how to ask what I want to ask, but
can I
no
ask
you
quickly? Can I
go
just support? All right, great. Hi. Fella, I understand what you're saying.
What would it take for people looking to actually like get into it? And I want to be on the creative side, because that to me feels like where I just would naturally like kick off based off skills that I have. But like, how would, what questions, how would you ask, how would you say somebody, you know, looking to go into it but you know, or just can't do it yet, go about it? Is it advisable to take loans, do it?
Loans? No. I know Jess would love to speak.
No, don't take loans, bro. Please don't.
Don't take loans. And there was something you said earlier on, hi fella, about
but
not
that,
having
like,
enough
that's
money.
How much I...
Fella, can you hear me?
Fella, can you hear? Can you hear Bookie? Fella, hold on.
Fella,
hold
can
on.
You hear me?
Bookie's trying to answer you, bro.
Can you hear me, fella? I think he's having issues with connectivity. So, fella, I hope you can hear me. When you made statement like, I can't afford to get into NFTs, that's not true. You can most definitely, I don't know what, obviously, from what you just explained, you want to come in as a creative. There are so many, 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 many spaces, so many information online about how to get into NFTs. If you're a creative or you are a designer, you know, you've already got the artistic, you know, mind to actually start creating NFTs. There is a process in which you can do it. I mean, I've only just got into NFT and I'm just reading up on it. I'm loving it. Oh my God, it's crazy. I actually came into it via crypto, to the metaverse, to NFTs. I own a few myself. But I would say I'm an investor. I'm a holder. I'm not looking to sell anything at all. But I'm not a creative, but I've just recently started a project, an NFT project, and it does involve quite a bit of work if you don't know what you're doing. But I will say to the speaker that was here earlier on, the best thing that you have to do is truly understand what it is that you're trying to achieve. If it is that you're trying to make money, then, you know, good for you. Quick buck, good for you. But if you are in for the long run, definitely do your research, get yourself, you know, a few key players to be able to support your projects, i.e. your designer, someone that knows how to make a website, someone that knows how to build a community. The key thing I want to say about NFTs, which is very, very important, is, and I know this might sound quite controversial, NFTs are not actually worth millions. NFTs can be worthless on their own. It's actually the digital work is the thing that's worth millions, and the community that you build around it. If you don't have a community around your project, trust me, your project is likely not to go anywhere, unless there's something distinctive about the design or something distinctive about the project. If you look at it this way, if you have like a painting from back in the days, or in the olden days, as they would say, right? If you cannot prove the authenticity of it, right, then the painting is worthless. And that's pretty much what I know about NFTs, is that NFT, if you think it's just the design, it isn't. It's the blockchain, it's the authenticity behind it that you're actually paying for. But let me yield the mic for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Bookie. Where were you earlier, man? Sheesh, coming through, spitting hot fire. Appreciate you. Cool. So, saying that, we are going to, I just have a few announcements before we sort of close the room. So I put this space on because I think it's important that people understand NFTs, and it, you know, a lot of people are making money, but more people are losing money. And there are so many, you know, flags, red flags that, you know, you should look out for when it comes to NFTs. We might even do a space just on the red flags that you look out for. I want to start doing spaces on this weekly. We have our WhatsApp, not WhatsApp, our Telegram channel listed in the Jumbotron, Telegram group listed in the Jumbotron. I also have a Discord group as well. I don't really know how to use Discord, so if someone does, please hit me up and educate me on that. But we do have a Discord group, and this is coming to you via Wholesome NFT. If you look in my bio, follow my Wholesome NFT page. I'm going to be a lot more active on it, posting NFT news, guides, how-tos, videos, etc., so you can literally learn how to, you know, sort of work this NFT space, make money from it, create a business around it, that kind of thing, buy and sell, trade, whatever you want to call it, invest around NFTs as well. So it's really important that you follow Wholesome, and follow us on Instagram as well. So on here it's Wholesome_NFT, on Instagram is Wholesome.NFT as well. Sham and I are co-founders of Tech UK. We actually have a masterclass as well coming up on the 19th of February. For anyone that's trying to break into the tech world, we have a Tech UK masterclass. We're going to give you step-by-step guides to break into the tech world and also to be successful within tech. That's CV writing, interview skills, etc., etc. And also we'll have a comprehensive list of remote roles that you can apply for as well in that tech space. So definitely look into that. Follow Sham, follow Tech UK, follow all the people that were hosting, the speakers in this room as well. Definitely recommend. These are some amazing people in the NFT and the tech, general tech, cybersecurity, etc. space. Definitely recommend it. We are going to close the space now. I'm not going to lie, I have a headache. I'm very, very tired, and I feel like the quality is going to start waning if we do that. But thank you so much for everyone that came through, everyone that was patient with us, everyone that stayed from beginning to end, everyone that came in and out as well, everyone that spoke. Super, super duper grateful. We will definitely try to get through the DMs as well. We have our Telegram group that I'm a bit active in, that Telegram group. But please, guys, I work exceptionally hard, not to say you lot don't. So if I'm not responsive in a Telegram group, it's just because I'm doing deep work and I'm focusing on projects. I'm focusing on building utility. I'm focusing on building Wholesome, really. So please bear with me if I'm not as responsive as expected. It's really for it's a community based thing. Anyways, everyone in a I don't want to be the only voice. I don't want to be the primary voice. Everyone should have a voice in there. Everyone should be able to help each other out in there. But Jess, what did you want to say?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say be on the lookout for Thames and Matt's OpenSea
information / onboarding room. We want to definitely get you guys comfortable using the tools and platforms so you, before you even make a purchase, you have knowledge of how to navigate the platform. So more information on that will be forthcoming. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for that, Jess. Yeah, so we generally do this free of charge because we want to help people. You know, we generally want you guys to leverage this new technology. It's not going anywhere. I think a lot of what's happening in the NFT space is trash, but there's a lot of gold in it as well. There's more fool's gold than genuine gold. So you have to be very, very careful. Remember my story, how I got rugged, how I got scammed as well. So as much as I know about this space, I've reverted to humility. I know nothing. And the truth is, we're all learning, we're all growing, and we're going to all learn and grow together at the end of the day. You know, get some skin in the game, get into it, but really, really, really learn. And remember, nothing that was said here is financial advice. Everything that was said here, do your own research, get independent financial advisors. If you're looking at a genuine investment, I wouldn't go into NFTs personally. If you're looking at the technology and understanding the technology and how you can build a business around the technology, then by all means, go into it. That's my thought, that's my opinion, that's my sort of two cents. But thank you to everyone that came through. God bless, and hopefully see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of a two-part space hosted by Tems. Let's talk NFTs. Diversity in NFT, women in NFT, black NFT. Recorded on Wednesday, January 26, 2022. TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 + 2. Spaces.